Okay, let's stand and sing the chorus, "He is good." Standing, please.
Morning, everyone. Nice large crowd here this morning. I love it. Let's go over some announcements real quick. Next Sunday is the COC food collection. And also as a reminder, next Sunday during the worship service, Children's Church will reopen. We do have enough volunteers to start, but we do need more volunteers. It's going to put an extreme strain on those that are volunteering. We want to be able to spread it out so everyone can attend church services and not just be over there with the children. So if you would, please, if you find it in your heart and God's calling you to volunteer for this children's church, we really need it. And if you would see Nancy Tart to make those arrangements with her. Saturday, May 1st, we have church cleanup day. That's going to be at 8 a.m. All that can attend, please do. Following Sunday, May 9th, is our Mother's Day service. May 10th is Finance Committee. And the Missions Night, May 12th. And as a reminder, 4 weeks away is the Spring Plate Sale. It's going to be start at 11 until... Reminder, there's a designated line you're offering envelopes if for initial donations. Looking at initial startups around $4,000 for them to buy everything that they need. And please see Kay for tickets. Also, there are bulletins if you want to, or flyers, not bulletins, in the vestibule to take, put at your work and other various businesses. But definitely CK, get tickets, sell as many as we can, and hopefully they run out of food, and it's a big, wonderful fundraising event for us. And I think a lot of people are going to be looking forward to it because we didn't do one last year. And we know the harvest sale we didn't do last year, and we always have real good turnout. So I think if we get the word out that we're doing it, it'll be a good turnout for us. Sunday, May 23rd is voting for the nominating committee. And then May 23rd is also COC food collection. And the 30th is our Memorial Day service and Lord's Supper. One that was a note written and I almost forgot. May 16th is Relay for Life Sunday. We have pinwheels on order. They're $5. They're to honor friends and family affected by cancer. Were we going to put a sign-up sheet in the vestibule? See Rachel? And is there going to be one out there also for them?
Yes.
Okay. Sign-up sheet in the vestibule and see Rachel. Again, they're the pinwheels. They're $5. And I think we were displaying them on that day. All right. I believe that's all the announcements, unless somebody's got one I forgot.
I've got one. Let's go come up here.
There was a group of us that went caroling over Christmas and had a blast to our homebound. Well, we decided that what we want to do is to go and sing hymns with them. The WMU got together and made up gift bags. So we will be taking baskets, and we will be taking those. If you would like to come and just visit with them, we stay about 5-6 minutes at each place, sometimes a little longer. No one has turned the dogs on us, so I think we're pretty decent singers. We'll be singing hymns and just visiting with our homebound. Be here Sunday. We're going to leave at 4:30. So if you get here at 4:35, we'll probably be gone. But we're meeting at the church in the parking lot, and next Sunday. So it was a joy and we had a blast. So we invite you to come and go with us. You don't have to be a member. If you just like to sing hymns and want to come with us, you're more than welcome. I'm done.
Okay. One thing I forgot to mention, and I apologize, but if you're a guest, if you look in the front pocket in the front of you, there's a form to fill out. If you're a guest, if you would fill that out, we'd love to get your information and contact you, and we hope to see you again. But you know, usually I do find a verse or two that goes along with something that I've been going through in life. This Sunday, nothing really struck me. What struck me, and I think it's because I heard this from somebody else, is this month we celebrated Easter. We celebrate his death and resurrection for 1-2 days, maybe a week. Christmas, we celebrate his birth starting before Thanksgiving as a society. And somebody mentioned this, and I really thought about it. This, his death and resurrection, is so much more important than just his birth. We should be celebrating this on a continual basis. And I understand that's not how our society works. It's a come and go holiday. But us as Christians, at least in our hearts and our daily lives, we need to celebrate this death and resurrection, because he died on that cross for our sins to allow us the opportunity to be here. So with that in mind, let us go to prayer. Dear Lord, you came to this earth as a person, as a human being, living in our sinful world, tempted by everything that we are tempted by, but yet did not succumb. You showed us the true path. You showed us that you are the Lord, our Savior. You cared so much for us that through all of this, you allowed yourself to be crucified and took on all of our sin, all of our problems, when you died in that moment. You came back to us to show us and fulfill that prophecy. You are truly the Almighty. Just help us to remember. Help us to live our lives as you lived your life. Although we're not perfect, just help us to remember that you are perfect and you died for us, to give us everlasting life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's join in singing hymn number 4, To God Be the Glory. We'll sing the first and the third verses. Standing blessed.
Yeah.
join us. They will accompany us as we sing Grace Flows Down.
Good morning. I have been tasked to find speakers at Tramway since we had the opening. And I've been so fortunate for the ones that I've contacted that have said yes. I was told about Jacob Peterson, and I called him, and he said he'd be glad to come to Tramway. Of course, I've had people say, is he coming back? And I said, well, I'll check and see, and had to check his schedule, and I finally got him today. I guess he might have been afraid that we wouldn't call him back. So that's always that fear as a guest speaker. But I'd like to welcome Jacob, his wife Rachel, Jack and Owen. I left my seat. So, yeah, Jacob, welcome again.
Good morning. That feels so much better. Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me come back to look at God's Word with you and worship with you. I had a good time last time. I've been excited to come back this time. I even brought my family with me. So y'all were worried you had scared me off, and now I'm worried they're going to scare y'all off. My boys, not my wife. So if you would, go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 21. This morning we're going to be setting up shop in John chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And the reason that I picked this passage is, you know, all of us, we're just a little ways past Easter, past the resurrection, like the gentleman who did the welcome said. Easter just happened for us, and in this passage, Easter has just happened for the disciples. They're just a little ways past it, and so I thought this might be a good passage for us to look at this morning. So before we dive into it, let's open up with prayer, please. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to study your word, God. I pray, Lord, that while I speak, that you would help me to say things that are true, things that are helpful, that help me to speak clearly, Lord. I pray, God, that you would use this sermon for your glory and to challenge this congregation and myself, Father. Most of all, though, we just ask that this will bring you honor and glory. In your holy name we pray, Lord. Amen. All right, let's read the passage first. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, you've probably heard this passage preached on before, and a lot of times what happens is pastors, they'll take this snippet, this passage, and they'll kind of bash Peter with it. They'll say, look here at Peter. Peter's been with the Lord Jesus. He's walked with the Lord Jesus. He's seen all the miracles. He's seen the resurrection. And now what's he doing? He's going fishing. And they'll kind of spin it and they'll say, you know, Peter, he was a fisherman. And then he walked with the Lord. And now after all this, what's he doing? He's going back to just fishing. He's going back to being a fisherman. And they kind of talk about it in a way where it's like they think that Peter is backsliding or he's kind of regressing or just not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Maybe y'all have heard that before. But the more I thought about this passage, I don't think that's what's really going on here. I think we're being a little too hard on Peter. And so this morning I want us to kind of drill into this and think about what's really going on with Peter and his fishing trip. All right. Before we start, though, I want to give you an example. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Fort Caswell before. Okay, a lot of you. Okay, then you're gonna resonate with this. For those of you that haven't been or don't know, Fort Caswell is my favorite place in the entire world. It's a retreat center down at the coast that the North Carolina Baptists own, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. You got the beach, you got the pier, you got these old Civil War forts that you can explore and go underground and look at and crawl all through them and do stuff. There's a gym. There's all kinds of stuff there. And I'm not an expert on this, but I've been told that it is some of the most valuable real estate in the entire state. And I know that a bunch of times people have come to the Baptist and offered them bukus of money for it, and they will not sell it. They take this beautiful place and they use it for retreats, for youth group programs, marriage retreats, all kinds of things for ministry. The reason that it's really special for me is because a lot of the big God moments in my life have happened right there at Fort Caswell. The first thing is, that's where I got saved at. I went with the youth group from mine and Rachel's home church, and we were there, I think, for either a week or a weekend, and they had this really good pastor, and you know, all throughout the week, you got different types of sermon, but at one point in the week, you'd always have the sermon. And this, I don't know if this was the first time I was paying attention, this guy was just really good, but he was making it crystal clear where I was heading and what I needed to do to avoid that. And so at Fort Caswell, I accepted Christ. I decided that I was going to make Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. I was going to make Him Lord of my life. And from then on out, things have been different. And so that's one reason that I love Fort Caswell. The other reason is I have gotten to see God at work there so many times. Because the place is special to me, I've taken youth groups on retreats to Fort Caswell probably 14 or 15 times. And I've gotten to watch God work on kids and sometimes change kids' lives. I've gotten to see kids come to know Christ for the first time. I've seen an adult come to know Christ for the first time. And so God saved me there, called me there, and I've seen Him at work. I've seen His power working on and through people. And the other reason is because that was one of the first places that after I went into the ministry, I really felt like God was using me, you know. That's where I got saved at, and I remember one night being there with my youth group, and I had a student accept Christ, and they wanted to be baptized right then and right there. And so we took the teenager out into the ocean and baptized him. And that was just kind of a big moment for me. Does that make sense? And so for me, it's Fort Caswell. But I think for Peter, it's his fishing boat. Does that make sense? Let's think about Peter's life for a minute. Think about all of the big God moments that have happened in Peter's life. Do you remember where he was at when Christ first called him? He was in his boat. Luke chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, it says, "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." Just like my relationship with Christ started at Fort Caswell, really Peter's relationship with Jesus started in that boat. What else happened with Peter in the boat? How about this? One of the first times that Peter really got to see who Jesus was, who he was dealing with, was in that boat. Do y'all remember there was an incident where they were out in the boat and Jesus Christ was asleep and this big storm came and it was terrifying and all the disciples were scared and they were freaking out and they woke Jesus up and said, "We're all going to die." And Jesus stands up and he tells the storm, "Be still." And it stopped. Do you remember that? That's in Mark chapter 4. Here's verse 41. It says, "And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" See, I got to see Christ working on students, but Peter got to see Christ really flexing his muscles, really showing who he was. And then I'll give you one more example. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But do you remember what Jesus had Peter do from the boat? There was a night where they were on the boat and they saw Jesus, and at first they thought he was a ghost, but it turns out Jesus Christ was walking on water. And so this is Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus." See, I don't think Peter's backsliding. I don't think that he's regressing or deciding not to follow Jesus. I think what's going on is he's been so used to walking with Jesus and being up underneath Jesus and seeing what Jesus is doing, and now he's not doing that. And probably deep down, he still feels pretty bad because you remember he denied Christ three times right before he was crucified. And he and Jesus really haven't had a come to Jesus about that yet. So I think that Peter's feeling kind of cut off, separated from his Lord. And he's feeling guilty and he's struggling because of how things were left before. And he doesn't know what else to do except go back to the place that he is used to having these big God moments. He's just going back to the place where he keeps encountering Christ and seeing Christ at work. I don't think he's backsliding. I think he's just going back to the place that he identifies with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Nod your head if you're with me. Okay, so let's get out of Bible land for a second. So what? What's this got to do with y'all, right? What does this have to do with Tramway Baptist Church? How do we make it so that people in this town feel about this church the way that Peter felt about that boat? How do we make it so that people long to be here when they're not here, and when they're feeling cut off from God, or like things are just not quite right between them and God, in their mind they're going, "I need to go back to Tramway Baptist," the same way that Peter was going, "Something's not right, let me get back on my boat." How do we make it so that this place is where people identify their big God moments? That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's the question that I kind of want to put out there. And before we really get into it, you know, I only know a couple of y'all, okay? I don't know most of y'all. I don't know what's been going on out here. So before I say this, I'm not talking about anybody, okay? I'm just going to assume that y'all's church is like the church I work at and most churches right now. There's probably a lot of folks that y'all have not seen in a long time, isn't there? There's probably some folks that you've not seen in over a year. And at first we were saying, "Hey, when the vaccine comes out, everybody's going to be back." And now it's kind of like, when, I don't know, something happens, everybody's going to be back. And if this church is like most churches, we got some nervous deacons or elders kind of looking around, thinking about it. And we've got some senior pastors that are wringing their hands going, "Okay, everybody's going to come back. Right? You know, these people we haven't, they're coming back." Look at me. Not all of them are coming back. There's going to be some people who do not come back to your church probably. And there's two reasons. One, they were not coming here for the right reasons to begin with. And I just mean a general sense. I don't know anybody's business here. Okay, I'm just assuming. They weren't coming for the right reasons. And COVID, a year of not going to church, has just kind of made them go, "I don't really need that place. And two, this was never their version of Peter's boat to begin with. This was never their version of my Fort Caswell. Something had them coming here, but it's not been enough to bring them back. And so, listen, before you get frustrated with them or you get mad with them, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that for a lot of churches, the blame lies with the church more than those people. Okay? You see, it was never the boat that Peter was so excited about. It was the Savior that he kept encountering there. And for a long time, there's a lot of churches that have spent more time and more energy and more resources selling the boat instead of the Savior. And there's a really big difference. A lot of churches have spent time trying to hook people with all kinds of stuff. You can think of things, whether it was a different kind of music or whether it was flashy programs or a Starbucks kind of coffee thing before, whatever. And that stuff eventually will get old. The only thing that is going to hook people and make them want to be here constantly is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, this is really important, okay? Look, what you win them with is what you win them to. And if there's anything other than the gospel and Jesus Christ that you're trying to hook people with, it's going to get old. It's not going to last. And eventually, you will not see those people anymore. And that blame lies more with the church than those people. One of my favorite preachers of all time, he's dead. Don't worry. Like, don't call him. Who's your favorite preacher? It's a dead guy, don't worry. But he's got this quote. And he says, don't go where it's all fine music and grand talk and beautiful architecture. Those things will neither fill anybody's stomach nor feed their soul. Go where the gospel is preached, and go often. So how do we fix this, okay? And then for all I know, y'all are doing it perfect. I'm just talking in general, okay? How do we fix this, though, assuming there was a problem? Well, we've already talked about the answer. Let's go back and look at Peter and what made him drawn to that boat, right? The first thing we talked about is that's where Jesus Christ called Peter to follow him. And not like in a superficial, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I've got a fish decal on my boat kind of thing. But like a life-changing, nothing's the same, I'm not the same person kind of following. Like when you look into that verse, it says that Peter and them left everything and followed Jesus. Their life was not the same. And Jesus told other people to do this. Listen, this is Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 61. It says, to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If we want our church to be that kind of place that people are drawn to and identify with Jesus and go to get close to Jesus, then just like Jesus called Peter to follow him in a radical, you're not the same anymore kind of way, we have to be calling people to follow Jesus in a radical, earth-shaking, life-changing, you're going too far kind of way. We have to be calling people to follow the Bible and follow Christ and make their life about Jesus and His glory more than their own. When Peter started following Jesus, his life wasn't about Peter anymore. It wasn't about Peter's preferences. It wasn't about Peter's comfort zone. It was about Jesus and what Jesus wanted and what Jesus desired for his life. And if you want your church to matter to people, that's how you have to call people. It's so easy, guys, to get obsessed with, well, we don't want to lose anybody. We don't want anybody to get uncomfortable. We don't want anybody to leave. We got to make sure that we're pleasing everybody. And first of all, you won't please everybody. But if you do, at best, you'll end up with kind of a weird civic group. But at worst, you're just going to end up with a mediocre country club. And it's going to be one that is being devoured by hypocrisy. It's better to have people who are actually following Jesus at your church than people who just, you know, come here for some reason that we don't know about. A relationship and walking with Jesus will never get old, but a mediocre country club will. And when you haven't been to it in a year, year and a half, you don't miss it. We have to call people to follow Jesus. The second thing, when Peter was in his boat, you remember they got to see God at work. They saw Jesus' power and the amazing things that he could do. Who is this guy? He can stop a storm. And Scripture talks about how they were terrified of Jesus, but it also talks about how they were amazed by Jesus. If we want people to look at our church like that, then we have to be in the habit, both as a church and as a people, of stepping out in faith and expecting God to show up in a mighty way. We have to rely more on God's power than on our own. Does that make sense? We need to find needs in our community. We need to be finding places where we can spread the gospel, ways that we can minister, and we need to step out into those areas and wait for God to show up and do something miraculous. Here's what we don't need to do. We don't need to spend more time in committee meetings and whatever kind of meeting. She must be on nominating committee. We don't need to spend more time in meetings talking about things that don't matter. We need to be spending more time in prayer meeting talking about the things that do matter. Listen, in this story, let me turn back. In verses 1 through 3, notice at the end it said they didn't catch any fish. The way that Peter met Jesus was what? A miraculous catch of fish. And now here, you know, when Jesus is not there, how much fish did they catch? Zero. None. Something that we need to remember is when we rely on our own power and our own schemes and the things that we can come up with and whatever goes through three different committees before we're allowed to do anything, we're just going to get mediocre results that we feel like we can take the glory for. But when you step out on faith and attempt something big, something different, what you're going to get is amazing results that everybody in the room goes, okay, that had to be God. That has to be a God thing. And only God can get the glory for that. Listen, if you can have a deacon's meeting or an elder meeting, church council meeting, and plan all your stuff and not talk about God's power, not factor in God and hope that he's going to show up, not spend more time in prayer than just, you know, scheming, you're doing it wrong. This is a church. It's not a Walmart. You're not running a corporation. You're at God's house. Let's not sit at God's house and act like he's not here. Does that make sense? So number one, call people to follow Jesus in a life-changing the way that Jesus called Peter. Number two, be amazed and depend on God's power, just like Peter and the disciples were. And then number three, we don't just want our folks to observe God's power. We want our people to participate and be a part of that. You know, when Peter was in the boat and Jesus said, you know, come on, walk out on the water. Can you imagine what that was like? First of all, I'm not going to be the guy who's like, yeah, tell me to come walk on water. I don't want to stay in the boat during all that, but imagine how Peter felt afterwards. He's going to be sitting there going, God did something miraculous with me. God used me. That was amazing. He's going to want to do that again. And just like Jesus, you know, kind of used Peter for his work and building his kingdom up, we want to position our people and get them involved so that they're being used by God. They're part of God's plan. They're helping build God's kingdom. And what that means is that your church has to expect stuff of its members. If you want to have an environment like that where God's using people and that's drawing people closer to him, you got to expect some stuff of your people. It means that you got to expect more than folks to just show up once or twice a month and occasionally tithe. Okay, it's got to be more than that. You've got to have this culture where people who are members of your church just know, If I'm a member at Tramway Baptist Church, I'm expected to share my faith. I'm expected to be involved in ministry. You got to have this culture at your church where people know missions are important. This is what we do here. I listened to this famous pastor talk one time, and he was describing his church, and he said, you know, a lot of churches are like cruise ships. I'm not stealing this from him, I'm giving him credit, but he said a lot of churches are like cruise ships, you know, where you go to them because they've got all the stuff that you want, and they got food and this and that, and we're there to have a good time, and it's all about us, and we can, you know, lounge, or we can eat, or we can do this or that. He goes, not my church. I want my church to be a battleship. I want my church to be the type of church where it's all hands on deck because we got a mission that we're fixing to go do. And if you want people drawn to this place, you want this place to matter to people, then you need to have a battleship, not a cruise ship. You got to come here to work and to serve the Lord, not just to get whatever it is that you want, because it's not about you or me. It's not about any of us. Does that make sense? So, look, if you want this place to be like Peter's boat, you want people in Lee County to go, I'm not right with the Lord. I've slipped. I need to come back close to God again. You want this to be the type of place that's important to people. The type of place that if they haven't been in a month, they're like, man, I miss being at church. You've got to call people to live changed lives. Lives where they're following Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working on them and changing them. You've got to rely on God's power, because if you rely on your own, it's not going to happen anyway. But if you'll rely on God's power, then your folks will stand around on a regular basis and be amazed and go, how did that happen? That had to be the Lord. People will look at this place and go, that is a place where God's up to something. That's a place where God's doing stuff. And you've got to get your people, three, you've got to get your people involved. This isn't a show where you just come to watch God do stuff, okay? Don't just come to church twice a month, sit on the pew, check the attendance box, and then leave. We want you to do something. Be a part of the team. Get your folks involved in missions. And there's all types of missions, okay? I'm not saying that you guys have to go to India. There's plenty of lost people here in Lee County. They need Jesus. Look at your people, look at their spiritual gifts, and find ways to plug them in doing ministry so that this is the type of church where it's all hands on deck, we got a mission, we're going to rely on God's power, and hopefully the Lord is changing us and we're going to be living a different kind of life. Now, as I've talked about this today, I've talked about how Christ called Peter. And I've talked about how this church needs to be calling people to live differently. If that sounds foreign to you, that sounds weird to you, I'm talking about salvation, okay? If you don't know the Lord, then when you're called by Him, here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You're a sinner, but we just celebrated Easter. The good news is that He has made a way for you to be in good standing with God and to have your sins forgiven and to spend eternity with Him in heaven. He wants you to make Him your Lord. And what that means is that from that point on, your life's not about you, your glory, and you know your preferences anymore. It's about King Jesus. And that sounds like a lot, but I can promise you it's the best decision that you'll ever make. You will never regret it. So I think in a second we're going to have an invitational hymn. I'm going to come down front. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk with you. If you don't want to talk with me, I'm sure that there are lots of people here that love Jesus Christ that you can track down later, but I'm going to be down front for a little bit, and I'd love to have you come talk with me.
Our invitational hymn is I Surrender All, hymn number 275.
Good morning. If I may, let me ask you to be seated for just a moment. We are truly blessed here at Tramway Baptist Church to have such a caring and supportive church family. And there's a song that's been playing through my mind the last several days entitled, Word of God Speak. A few of the lyrics go like this. Word of God speak, would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. On behalf of your pastor search committee, I would like to thank you for your prayers and support as we sought God's direction. God has clearly spoken to this committee, and I believe God has spoken to us today. With that being said, church, I have an announcement to make to the congregation this morning. After much prayer and consideration, the pastor search committee is of the unanimous decision that God is calling Reverend Jacob Peterson to shepherd his church here at Tramway Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. We have found Reverend Peterson to be a devout man of God who willingly seeks God's call in ministering to his people. And it is truly an honor and privilege for me to stand before you at this appointed time and to present to you Reverend Jacob Peterson and to introduce a motion to extend the call as pastor by the Pastor Search Committee of Tramway Baptist Church upon membership approval at a special called business meeting in 2 weeks on Sunday, May 2nd at approximately 12 noon. Reverend Jacob Peterson will be back in the pulpit here at Tramway that Sunday delivering the message, and following his message, we will have the meeting and then bring him and his family back in. Church members, as you exit today, you will receive a special bulletin introducing Reverend Peterson, and inside this bulletin will be his personal, professional, and spiritual information, as well as a copy of the agreed-upon employment guidelines, pastor expectations, and congregational expectations. On the back of this bulletin will be a few message and Bible study links that Reverend Peterson has provided that you may listen to at your leisure. Both the Pastor Search Committee and the Personnel Committee ask that you review this information you received today. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to any of us and we'll be glad to answer those questions for you. At this time, I would like to present to you Reverend Jacob Peterson, along with his wife Rachel and their two sons, Jack and Owen. I'll have a closing prayer and turn the service back over to Reverend Peterson to share what's on his heart, and then Sherry will lead us in our benediction, and then you may come by and greet the Petersons. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just humbled by your grace, your mercy, and how you have spoken to your people here at Tramway. We thank you and praise your name for Reverend Peterson and his family, Lord, and thank you for sending him our way. We pray, Lord, in the days and weeks and months to follow, Lord, that you would continue to speak to your people here, to continue to fill us individually with your spirit, Lord, and to grow us ever so close to you as we continue to worship and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I really appreciate being able to talk and meet with your pastor search committee. They all seem like wonderful people. The more that I've talked with them, they've talked with me, the more that we feel led by the Holy Spirit that I'm being called here. That being said, y'all have to go home and pray and think about it, and I hope that you'll be led the same way. If you are, we're going to come. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God's going to get up to. I think that the Lord has some big things in mind. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach with you guys and look forward to meeting a lot of you. You want me to close this out in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now in your house, Lord, and I pray that you would be with this congregation. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give all of them wisdom and discernment, God, because we want to do what you would have us to do. Lord, you know best. And so we pray that you would guide them. God, be with them. I pray a blessing on this congregation, Father. I know you have big plans for them, regardless of who their pastor is. We thank you for this time together now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.